Podcasting 2.0 for September 30th, 2022, episode 104. We got a new dump. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on. With Podcasting 2.0, it's the board meeting. This is where we come together every single week. We talk about what's going on, our dreams, our wishes, and we try to fulfill them all. Whatever's happening with the namespace out there in the podcast industrial complex. And of course, podcastindex.social is where we have all the goo we like to talk about. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, a man who is happy it's International Podcast Day. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
You always fulfill my wishes, sweetheart.
And right off the bat, we're back where we left off.
That's right. Happy International Podcast. Happy International, maybe your numbers are right and maybe they're not, podcast.
Who determines this to be International Podcast Day? I don't understand. I mean, I was
the
not
international
consulted.
Podcast community.
Oh, I was not consulted on this. So I don't know. I mean, I've never really observed it. I'm a non-observing podcaster.
Did you see Jordan, I think her last name's Blair? I feel bad. Jordan
Blair?
She's one of the hosts of Buzzcast. Yeah, Buzzcast. Yeah, Jordan Blair. Mm. She tweeted that she was so excited for International Podcast Day because she wanted Adam Curry to land on her roof and give her presents or something like that.
What? Oh, something okay. Like ho, ho, ho. All right. I like the idea, actually.
Ho, 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 little girl. Let me see what I have in my sack.
She said, I'll be hanging up stockings tonight in hopes that Adam Curry fills them with audio gear.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Oh, that's all right. So what, but does it signify the start of podcasting? Is there some date? Like something was born on this date? Do you know? I mean, it just seems like that's been a thing. I don't remember.
If I had to guess what it's about, somehow it's about somebody making money.
Yes.
That's a wild guess. I mean, that never happens. That's just a wild guess. Somebody's making money somewhere.
I guess we should just talk briefly about the Bloomberg article and the, oh my God, there's gambling going on there.
I'm shocked.
I'm very shocked.
You got my clips, right?
Yes, I do have your clips. You have clips about this. Oh, dynamite.
Not about this. About this in particular, but just about other things that are tangential to this.
Okay, so let me start with just a little background. Bloomberg reported an article that iHeartRadio in particular, but it appears that there are some others who have done it, were buying downloads from mobile app games. Where a person would, tap on an in-game item that they would get a sword or a cape or something exciting, or, maybe some other kind of virtual money, whatever. And they'd have to listen to 20 seconds of a podcast, at which point over a minute or more had been downloaded, which, and this is the true amazing part of it, which according to the International Advertising Bureau standards is constitutes a full download, which is fascinating. But they were doing this to the tune of $6 million a month, about $10 million since 2018 up until today. And the way the industry kind of responded was, well, it's valid. It's how it works. This is, we all agree. IAB says it's okay. And I wanted to relate my own personal experience to this, because
you've never done something like this, but you've been affiliated with something like this.
Here's how it goes in Silicon Valley, and I know this firsthand, particularly with startups. And it doesn't matter if it's a podcast, if it's video that you have advertisers watching, doesn't matter if it's clicks, if it's signups, registrations, anything you can think of, anything you need people for, there are companies who have these games. The one I know about specifically at the time was called Monopoly. That was just the name of the company. I don't know if that was their full company name, whatever. But, you know, companies like this. And so basically...
That's bold. That's a bold name for your company.
Yes. Thank you. But maybe that's just how they were listed in the special index. And they will come to CEOs or CFOs and say, hey, you know, if you need some traffic or something, you know, you need some signups for the end of the month. You got the quarter coming up. You got to show your board. You have a board meeting. You have a funding event. You need to show a chart. You know, you've got this money, so why don't you pay us $100,000 and you know, that will result in $110,000 of revenue, because we will charge you less than you're getting from the advertisers. And they have, and these games, that's their workforce. You know, remember we talked about Sphinx, where they've people in,
Philippines.
Who are, you know, teaching AI. It's like, okay, is there a man in this picture, this CC, you know, this closed circuit camera? Yes, yes, no, no, no. So they're teaching it. These same mm-hmm. people are saying, oh, okay, I have to listen to this podcast. They're not actually playing a game. This is the part that I think Bloomberg missed. These games are not games to play, like, oh my good, the game is to get as much money out of the monopoly company. Because they're paying their people. It goes down the line. And this is rampant throughout the industry. It started way back when with clicks and page views, all of this. And it's real people doing it, distributed all around the world. And I'll just add to that. When you take a company public, people will come to you who say, hey, I'm a consultant. And I'm a consultant in your business, and I would like to have warrants of your stock. Now, warrants is like a stock, but it's a particular kind of stock. It has restrictions, but you can sell it once the stock price reaches a certain price. And that you can sell that kind of as an insider deal. That's what all the venture capital guys, they want a lot of warrants. You know, that's where the big bonus money is. And they will say, hey, you know what? Your stock is $5 right now. When it hits 12, then our warrants are good. Oh, that's great. And what are you going to do? Well, we're going to promote your company. We're going to talk to people and get them interested in the stock. And of course, what they actually do is it's a group of guys and they're trading the stock back and forth amongst each other. They trade the price up until it hits the price point. They cash in their warrants. But you're also happy because your shareholders are happy. Your employees are happy. Everybody's happy. And right. It's completely legal. So that's the same that has been going on. And I would say in this case, it looks like iHeart. And this is the best part because we were just talking about loops, not lists. So all of these rankers are basically gamed. Yeah, it's like, and it makes sense. Okay, and everyone agrees with it. It's okay, you know, iHeart, they spend the money, they get the views, they're top of the list. I mean, that's their prerogative, it's their money. It's like, does anyone see the yechiness in all this?
So you're saying, if I understand the way you're describing this right, you're saying that there are, let's just say there are games on, like free-to-play type games on the app stores, mm-hmm. the mobile app stores, that the 90% of the reason they exist is as cover for this thing.
Correct.
And so that you can, it is a valid game. It's a valid thing that yep. exists, and maybe some real people play it. But its real purpose is for engineering advertising numbers.
Correct. Or any type of numbers, any type of ranking, any type of action right. that is repetitive. And bonus. Sometimes the game is a hit just because of the game.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that can be your bonus. But meanwhile, you know, you make a game. You know, it's got to be a free to play game.
Uh-huh.
And there's
from the app store standpoint, there's nothing that triggers. There's no. See the shenanigans.
No.
Right?
Well, that's the amazing thing is I've listened to different people. You know, new media show and the one you were on, I listened to Podland and Pod News. I read around and, you know, the basic consensus is, well, you know, I mean, it, I know it seems weird, but you know, some people might actually be listening to those 20. They might listen longer. They might subscribe. You know, clearly advertising works because you know, people keep doing it, and they must be getting an ROI. The joke in advertising is, I know that half of my advertising is working. I just don't know which half. That's the joke. So, and you know, it's not all attributable. It's not all. You can't really track your ROI to where it's coming from. In general, it's, you know, it's very hard. IAB says, you know, that, I mean, I don't understand how that can be a valid download if it's 1 minute of audio.
Well, you know, we talked about, it was either last week or the week before we talked about.
I just don't get that.
IAB, and, you know, Todd was saying that there are some people who are hostile to IAB, and I'm like, you know, from our standpoint, we don't truly care about that kind of thing because that advertising is not. Right. Our game, this is good. This is a really clear indication of how inaccurate and just Wild West that whole thing is. To put a sort of the IAB, the way I see the IAB is not necessarily with contempt. It's just with irrelevancy because I'm sorry if there's any irritation that I have with the IAB, it's that they charge people $50,000 to put a veil of legitimacy over a thing that's completely.
This is not new. I mean, was it ComScore? You had to subscribe to really, you know, participate in their list. If you got money, there's people who are going to take it away from you for this very reason in this game. all the time. But you know, here's something. Yeah, with this knowledge now, just like, oh, okay, boy, surprise, and you know, there's some indication that Bloomberg themselves might have been doing this, but everyone does it, and you have to understand, it's like with all the unicorns. I guarantee you that every single company has employed these at some point where you need a boost or your curve on your spend sometimes is just, you're not spending enough. What are you spending on? Oh, look at this. It's marketing. You know, the bill comes literally like a webcam porn bill on your credit card, you know, marketing services.
I've got some clips. This may tie into a little bit with the marketing and advertising stuff. This was bought. So Goldman Sachs, they had their big conference recently, last couple of weeks, I think. What's the name of that thing?
2 weeks ago, I think.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, it's like Commaverse. I forgot what they called this thing. It's something goofy. But this interview was with Bob Bakish from CBS. He talked a lot about about streaming services and about, what's the name of their Paramount Plus, their offering and all this kind of stuff. He had a couple of things to say about advertising. If you want to hit clip one, this is his thoughts about what's going on with advertising now and soon.
I'm not saying the world is as it was in history, but the notion of 23 is doom and gloom, which is out there, I think it's overplayed. So that's what I mean by the ad market weakness is overplayed. Certainly for us, we're seeing a positive trend line in the year. Q2 is better than Q1, Q3 is better than Q2, and Q4 will be better than Q3.
Huh?
Yeah. So why do you think in the television streaming advertising business, what could it be that is going to cause him to be so confident? He's confident in his Q3 numbers, and that he's going to be very confident in Q4. What do you think is going on here in television advertising?
I have no clue. I mean, and I don't know. Maybe television advertising is doing great. It seems to me like everyone's cutting budgets. I don't know.
He's going to answer it in clip two, and it's your old familiar buddies.
So that's encouraging. That's a function of the share gains, particularly at the CBS broadcast network. It's a function of the upfront we laid, which was really a volume upfront. We sold significantly more inventory, so we're not that dependent on scatter. And it's a function of specific categories, obviously political, which is very strong in the back half of this year, but also pharma, which is a big category for us coming back.
Pharma.
Yes, pharma's coming back. Pharma. Elections and pharma.
So he's confident in quarter four numbers, not because they had scatter, as he calls it, but because they had two big industry buys, elections and pharma.
Yeah,
that's the and you know what two things that podcasting advertising does not have?
Yeah,
elections
and pharma.
And pharma. Yeah,
how about that?
So podcast advertising is highly dependent on scatter. So
yes,
he's doing great at CBS because they don't have to worry about scatter. Well, guess what podcasting gets? Scatter.
Yeah. He doesn't have to worry about it until Q1. Then everything falls right, off Q1, a cliff, yeah. And then he's got some problems.
Then he's just got pharma.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, no, I think Pfizer has done some Viagra ads here and there.
The Hep C? They do some. Were they the
Hep C? Oh, the Hep C. No, they weren't. They weren't. It was pharma. I don't know who. Maybe that was who was that for? I can't remember. Now I don't get that ad anymore when I listen to New Media Show. Now I get the nice again. Nice. Like some financial services I don't need.
He follows it up with a little bit of talk about programmatic if you want to play group three. Yeah.
I don't feel like right now people think that the market is as weak as they're worried it's going to become. I mean, you're not really seeing a particularly weak ad market right now, are you?
That's another part of the overblown. The market's actually pretty good. I mean, the digital programmatic side is weak, but the linear side is pretty good. But it's more people are talking negative about the ad market. Valuations metrics have come in and people are talking about an extended slowdown, which again, I just don't think, I don't know, you know, it's a prediction. But what I'm seeing, I'm feeling better about 23 than the general narrative.
Yeah, so programmatic is weak is what he said. You know, he feels good about his numbers because he doesn't have scatter. These are all the podcasting advertising is on the wrong side of all of these things.
Yes. I mean, that's why, look, when I figured this out, you know, when we started Pod Show, the whole idea was to change advertising. And so that's when, you know, we were doing, and it wasn't like a big change because it's been going on in radio for a long time, but you had now you had an interactive part where you could send people to a website and use a promo code. And that was kind of working. It surely would not scale the way you would ever imagine. And then brands started dipping their toes in and they're having a real hard time. I mean, look right now, Twitter, I think was it, Nike and like two big brands, pulled all their advertising because there's some, you know, kiddie porn was discovered on the platform. You know, it's a nightmare. This is always a nightmare. And, you know, he says, yeah, linear is doing okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know. I think it's a problem. Look, advertising is important. I'm not sure. And I don't care. Before we play the last clip.
We don't even have to play it if you don't want to, but you can. If you're feeling froggy.
No. So we did an experiment and I added the No Agenda Sunday and Thursday show to OP3, the open podcast prefix
project.
Thank you. So we could see what was going on and see how it worked and the system held up. And, you know, it was just a lot of cool looking charts and numbers and big numbers and smaller numbers. And so the reason why I felt okay with doing this is because I don't really care. It doesn't really matter. But what I noticed is as the posting goes back and forth and you're drilling down and look at this, I'm like, am I getting more and more interested about how many people listen to this? I had to stop myself. It's like, no, cause you'll never know. You'll never know. You're just not going to. Yeah. And then I flip over to the Albie stats and I can see that, you know, on this show, 7 minutes in, there's 59 people who are streaming sats. You know, that just shows me that right there. And I feel really good about that. Like 59 people are listening at that very moment. And someone sent a boost here. And look at that line barely tapers off. Have you seen our, now you've had some stats in the.
I haven't looked. I should look.
It's very exciting.
It's so funny how I just don't care that much about stats.
Well, these stats are cool. You look at that. because that's actual data and it shows that people are listening pretty much all the way through the show to the board meeting, which is nice.
You know, what's funny is the only thing that we can say for sure after after one round of the No Agenda show being on OP3, mm-hmm. is that the number of listeners is somewhere between 90,000 and 700,000.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got. Plus bots.
where that is, I have no idea.
Well, if the total amount of listeners is 90,000, then every single one of them has way too much dispensable income.
Yeah, that can't be the case.
Can't be right.
It's way north of that. But whether how far south of 700,000 it is, I don't know. I've been looking. This has been a pet project all week.
I thought you didn't care about stats, and now this is the problem.
Our stats, but like on our show.
Yeah, but I was talking about stats. Okay. Yeah. Albie's stats is also our stats.
Yeah. No, well, this is less of an interest in like stats for the sake of figuring things out for myself.
No, you're a whore for data.
I'm a data whore. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. A data whore. And so I'm like, you know, I just, when I see these numbers that I can't make any sense out of, I just want to make some sense out of them. And I keep looking at them. And so I'm like, okay, let me figure out a different way to slice this.
Oh, now I know. Now this is what's irritating me. I can feel you doing this. And I know that it never ends. This rabbit hole does not end with meeting Alice. It ends with the IAB with some compromise.
Yeah.
That's what it ends. So I just hope you don't spend the rest of your life doing this.
No, I'm slowly getting bored. Yeah. is what is happening.
And you know, it's like I'm marginally interested, but you know, obviously what's happening here is there's nothing that's really of interest to me. If there's a chart that I could look at, like that's kind of cool. But again, I know it has no relationship to how I feel about the program, how we did, Now, I don't know. I think the value for value is just a lot better for me. It's like, oh, okay. Well, we didn't get as much. Maybe we didn't do something right. Let's talk about it. Everyone okay? All right, move on, do better. And it works.
I'm looking at the dashboard now. That's pretty solid. I mean, like, no, people don't drop off, really.
No, isn't that nice? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's like, that's pretty good. I mean, like, there's just like this ever so slight dip. Towards the end, that's about it. Huh. Yeah. No, I went in so naive. I will echo Todd Cochran's, warnings about stats and calculations. And I think in retrospect, I should take his warnings as this is not fun. These trying to figure out what comes from what and what's legitimate traffic
and
what's
not. It's a moving target. It's never ending. But what I like and what I would love to have, what I really enjoyed looking at is all the what apps they are. That's cool.
Oh.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I got people listening to me on the Roku.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny stuff.
Yeah, the Roku and also stuff I've never heard of. Stage fright. What is stage fright?
Right. I mean, and these I think are maybe they're what do you call them? What's that open source? Everyone uses it. You can load it on the Umbral now.
Open source.
It's a media server. And you can load different apps on it. There's podcast
like
apps.
Plex or something.
Plex. That's it. Plex.
Okay.
Stuff like that. I don't know.
Fun.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah, because what you see quickly or in the numbers is like, okay, clusters of downloads coming from like big clusters of downloads coming from a single IP address, but different apps.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, well, this is a VPN.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that VPN, you'll never know what that means.
No.
You can't pull numbers out of that. It's just a big blob, and it's a big inscrutable blob.
So you just
give up, you know.
It just solidified that this is the podcast industrial complex and the numbers. It's been 20 years. It's still it's a cluster F. It's the same with Nielsen ratings. It's the same with everything. It's mm-hmm. and And I'm just not getting the value out of the whole. It bugs me more than anything. It's like that. Just no.
Well, I drilled down on one IP hash. Mm-hmm. It was one IP hash with Apple Podcast user agent, and it had something like 40,000 range requests. I'm like, this is not possible.
What's a range request? Oh, when you're downloading little bits and pieces at a time.
Partials. Yeah partials when you're streaming. I'm like, well, there's no way that somebody listened to this podcast 87 times in a row.
Right. Right.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. And I've been doing this since 1995 with the Advanced Statistics Analysis program, ASAP. Where we did web stats GREP basically. And it's always been fluffy at best.
Yeah.
So now, is there a lot of validity to having this data and not looking at it as stats for advertising? Oh, hell yeah. I'm glad I can contribute. I think, hopefully it was helpful.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to look at and try to I see it as a big, here's another way that this could go. You know what? Actually, we should bring our guest in that way, because I think this may revolve around him too.
I'm glad you reminded me. I've forgotten him twice already today. Just kidding.
He's asleep in the lobby.
Welcome to... Hey, open up that door. Welcome to the board meeting, co-founder of Ivy.fm, Mike Van Hyde. I screwed it up even though I knew better. Mike Van Hyde. Hey, Mike.
That's great. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's the Dutch in me. Like, I want to say, it's Mike van Heide. Hey, Mike, hoe gaat het met je? You know, that's what I want to do.
the original pronunciation.
How Dutch are you, Mike? I mean, how far does that get back in your family?
A long way. So it's, okay. We know it's probably Dutch, but I don't know that we have, traced it back to Europe or anything.
Oh, so you haven't been to the motherland to go?
I have not been to the motherland.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, welcome, Mike. I think maybe we should just start off by you telling us about Ivy.fm, which I haven't used pretty much at all. But I understand this is a great way to search and to keep track of things, all things podcasting. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think so. Sure. So Ivy.fm, what we're trying to do is to sort of understand exactly what each episode is about, what people are involved, what topics, and then let the listener follow or explore from there. And so, as an example, you were on Glenn Beck a few days ago, and someone that was listening to his podcast might not be familiar with you. And so you would be right there. And they'd be like, oh, Adam Curry, I like this segment. And then they could click more and follow you and see all the podcasts you're associated with, all the other interviews you've done. And so we have a million topics that we follow. And so you can follow any of those the same way you would follow a podcast.
Wow. My popularity peaked around 2021. That was probably a Rogan episode. Could I drill down into that and find out why I was so popular? That's just kind of cool.
What's on the website is cached, but I could definitely send you the full the full list.
That's really interesting. Can you make it so anything people search for brings up me? That would be a good feature.
Okay. Yeah, I was doing some searches a couple of days ago around in the app, and I was looking at things. How do you? I mean, you're really accurate with pulling things out. Like you can follow a person down to shows like with title in the description. Are you using like a machine learning model, or what are you doing there?
It's hard to say. The heuristics get complicated and more complicated, and I don't know at what point they become ML. We do have a system that is proprietary that we've built. It treats every field in the RSS separately. So there's one thing that's working on like keywords and person tags, another thing that works on the titles, another on the descriptions. Mm-hmm. And then the idea is just sort of all those work together to sort of identify all the pieces, parts of it. The main thing we don't use that's maybe surprising is the transcript data itself. We've looked at that a bit. It's just a little bit messy. But yeah. I think at some point we might incorporate that as well.
this is clearly your, you know, your wheelhouse is the search and like key. I hate to call it even keywords because it's not really keywords. You're sort of like taking bits of data and making tokens out of them. It feels like
exactly because
it's not
so.
It's not just people. It's also, you know, the hash value.
We got topics, hashtag, yeah. People. This is interesting.
What all are you pulling in? Are you pulling in the person tag or location? Like, what tags are you consuming?
For this in particular, it's the title, the description, the keywords, and the person tag.
Okay.
Hey man, my podcast with my wife isn't in here. You're fake news.
Oh man,
you're fake news, man. This is no good. So you're not pulling in from the index then?
We pull some from the index. There is mostly aligned with Apple, although we do have, obviously, we have this podcast. We have some other ones that are not in Apple. Apple helps us with some popularity measurement.
Sure.
So that's sort of why we like to do that, but we'll add anything. There's no like allegiance to Apple or anything.
Now, let me ask you about that connection with Apple. So how do you get that data? Is there some kind of developer program that you can hook into their API?
No, I mean, it's all sort of public. And so we pull in a number of sources to try and understand the listening data as best we can. We're pretty small, so our listening data would give you kind of random results, right, I think. It would be very skewed. And so this sort of, I think, is kind of to your original topic when you opened the podcast. It's probably directionally correct, maybe, but I wouldn't trust the numbers exactly.
Mm-hmm. And are you worried about Apple ever waking up and deciding to not make that public?
I think that's a possibility. That's what we try and pull from a number of sources besides Apple. But
right.
So far, it hasn't been a problem yet. But we're definitely expanding beyond Apple.
Now, is this a company? Are you guys making money? I mean, what's the business model?
So we do not make money. We lose money. The company is just my wife and I, actually.
Welcome
so
to podcasting,
small.
My friend.
Yeah, the podcasting valve
poverty.
Valve poverty,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make it up in volume. we're looking at some ways to make money. I think the data itself is actually, I could see avenues where it would be really interesting to folks. And then there's, you know, probably ways that we could do things. There's certainly the value for value is something I was hoping to get before we talked today. I ran into some edge cases and I'm terrified of taking people's money. So we backed off for now, but that is something in the works. But there, cool. There should be like avenues to help advertisers identify podcasts, and we think there's a lot of angles here.
I mean, just typing some stuff in, I'm very impressed at how the search works. I mean, that's cool, and then the results you get back. I see. I mean, I apologize, just haven't had an opportunity to really mess around, and I'm just doing it on the web, so I can imagine the app is a million times more interesting to interact with. This is cool, man. I really like it.
It's really, thank you.
Really interesting.
So the trending topics I'm seeing, it's at least on the side. I don't have my phone next to me, so I don't know about the app yet. But and I think it was the same this morning on the app too, like Hurricane Ian, hurricanes, Joe Biden, Russia, Ron DeSantis, Q. Like these trending topics, are those coming from Apple or are those coming from your own analysis?
No, these are all from our own analysis. Okay. The trending is sort of, we take what we know about how many episodes should appear for each topic. And so to the extent that there's more than we would anticipate, that's how we sort of rank the trending. And so that's where you see Hurricane Ian and Nord Stream being sort of the top two. And then we're trying to provide more context, like, well, why are those trending? And that's where we do keywords that are trending with those. And that's where you get, you know, hurricanes trending with Hurricane Ian or Joe Biden or Cuban or Ron DeSantis. And then off to the side, we're also pulling in 10,000 new sources because they're also RSS. So it's easy to kind of do the same operation on. So we can give extra context of like, you know, why is it this thing trending well? Because, you know, a lot of this thing, I can't be an expert in everything. And there are things that come up here and I think, oh, there's a bug or what is that weird thing? And then nope, it's wrestling or it's something else that I'm not, you know, just not in my wheelhouse.
Okay, so that's interesting because on the app you don't get. I didn't see the news. I don't guess that's in there. It's because of screen space.
That's true. You know, the app is something that we need to circle back to, and I think probably needs a complete rewrite. Most of our development attention has been on the website.
So a question, since we're kind of talking about stats and stuff, to bring it back to that, and I have another idea about this for later. Would it be helpful if you could get, maybe it's a 1% split that you could get from a number of podcasts that would send to you so that you could do more precise tracking? I mean, we're talking about all these stats, right? And what is really, I mean, downloads and partials and range requests and everything. Whereas I look at the Get Albie stats and I'm going like, okay, of the people that are listening to my podcast and value for value, which, you know, whatever that number is, here's the, this is actual listens per minute. Wouldn't that be a fantastic data source? And I mean, I could see where, I mean, I'll put a percent split in there so that you can do some stuff with that. And you know, it just seems like such an obvious thing. And you contribute to the service who's providing the stats.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe that could be something that would sort of jive with the OP3 stuff. But yeah, we track actually every 10 seconds so as people listen. So that's helpful for our own internal usage. But,
right,
you know, it's still kind of biased to what people are listening to on Ivy.
Right. Hmm. I was just thinking that what an opportunity, you know, or maybe that there's so many cool services we can do. I mean, someone posted to it. This open source transcription software, which apparently does okay, like 85-90% accuracy.
The OpenAI thing?
Yeah. I mean,
the Whisper?
Yeah, Whisper.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, if I were a developer, I might possibly say, you know, well, let's set up a service here. And you get your transcript in return for a split. Done.
Okay, this fits into something. So I had a phone call with a guy yesterday. And
a guy? About a thing?
A guy. And we were talking about this, about transcripts and chapters in a way to, because they have some ideas for providing transcripts and chapter services. And the discussion really kind of stalled because we were just brainstorming how you could link up these things between a hosting company and the third party service. So you have a third party service who's going to provide you, let's just say, transcripts. Well, and then you've got a hosting company where the podcaster is going to create their episode. They record their episode, upload it to the host, publish it. Now they want to use this third party service to do their transcript. And the idea is that you would have the ability to post an episode and then just do nothing. Like you're done.
You're
and
done.
Then have the,
there's
have
no
the
step three.
Yeah. No step three. Have the transcript automatically generate on this third party service.
Yeah.
Then somehow let the hosting company know that it's finished, and then it gets pulled into the RSS of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like that's, you could make an integration there, some sort of API back and forth integration, but you know, integrations break and who knows if this is much of a moneymaker and like things like that. There's things out there like that in that category of want to do. There are things out there like that that I feel like there needs to be some sort of loose connectivity between parts, almost like because everything is decentralized and you want to maintain the decentralized nature. You sort of also want to decentralize the connectivity between things. I want to be able to say, well, here's my podcast over at Blueberry.
Yeah.
And here's my hosting, here's my transcript company I want to use. And then here's my chapters company that I want to use, which is another one. And I want to like link all this stuff together where it all works, but I don't want to require that the hosting companies and these other two companies all do a bunch of back-end API integration. There's got to be a solution to this. And I feel we talked a little bit about Podping. I mean, anyway,
I don't know if all the solutions need to come from the hosting companies. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I mean, there's slugs, there's all kinds of things that, I mean, hosting companies know, it's, I think any hosting company can see, just look at the namespace. There's your roadmap. Choose which order you want to do it in. And for them, I think the way Buzzsprout does it makes the most sense, and others do it, of course, is, you know, contract out to a transcription service. I mean, now I think we got Rube Goldberg machine. What I'm talking about is, I don't have a hosting service, or just whatever it is. But even if I have a hosting service, and here's a cool add-on that I don't really have to involve my hosting service with at all.
Okay. Perfect example here. OP3. Perfect example, because OP3 exists. It's not going to be a moneymaker. I mean, it's not, and that's really not its intent. So, but you want people to be able to use it without having to email their hosting company and ask them to integrate. Like, there needs to, like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it feels like there needs to be ways to...
You're trying to fix a problem that you can't fix. We can in some cases, like the shim for the value block.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a centralized solution for a distributed problem.
Yeah. It feels like there ought to be some sort of linkage protocol, where two parties can do a thing together without having to create API integrations and do a bunch of work like that, where I, as the end user, can say, okay, I've got this service and I've also got this other service. I'm making a link between them myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not always going to be possible. Hosting companies are in different stages of development. So I'm just talking generally. I'm not trying to solve the hosting company's business or anybody's mm-hmm. business, I guess. But I like the idea that a new service could be set up and how that integrates. I don't know, somehow it just felt to me like there's got to be a way to do it, this transcription service. You can run it yourself, which, you know, I'm looking, I could probably run this myself. It would take me a day. And like, I'm not going to do that. I got to do other stuff. But if someone set it up and said, okay, I can take, X amount of clients and, here's your slug or whatever. And then, we just point it to this and that's where your transcript will be. Yeah, that would be cool. Well, I mean, I would give up Otter for that. You know, no problem. And maybe I'm special because I'm spoiled because of Sovereign Feeds. I am a spoiled brat.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about in the call yesterday. It's like, well, you know, we can do this so easily because we control the feed, but like 90% of podcasters, they don't have this luxury.
No,
and they're not. No. You know, that there's like. But well, this something like that also applies to like you with Ivy, Mike. I mean, like you have this ability to with your engine to extract all these keywords and tokens and people, and you've got all this information. Somebody may want to hook into your service and like pay you to be able to pull that stuff out and put it into their podcast as recommendations or some other thing. Like there might be some linkage in the future there if we could sort of crack this nut.
Is this where that I'm sorry, go answer that, Mike. I'm sorry, I just jumped in front, just I was being rude.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely looking to open up the beyond the UI and make API calls for all this stuff so that somebody could hook in. Because you could imagine the podcaster wanting recommendations on what keywords should I use? What's the keyword? What's the volume on those? Like how many other people are talking about this and who else is talking about this? And we could tell you that in almost real time.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Isn't this where that LSAT comes in? Isn't LSAT meant for this?
Is anybody using LSAT? I can't get a read on it.
Well, Dave, we picked up on Keysend, which nobody was using, and we turned it into a powerhouse.
True. I just don't. I don't know. I've always hear you always hear. Oh, you should use LSAT, but then I don't see anybody doing it. But we could We can give it a shot.
So, I mean, the it really boils down to, for me, is what is making podcasting 2.0 work, and I want to hear, Mike, I want to hear your opinion on this, is obviously there's features. We have hundreds of thousands of feeds now using these new features, so there's content to be consumed, and, you know, this data is just sitting there. And as a developer, by the way, Apple should be embarrassed of themselves that they haven't implemented at least one piece of the namespace, because I know the developers, I'm sure the team feels generally embarrassed that they cannot even keep up with the simplest of web apps that are just showing more data from podcasts, and they just can't do it. I mean, I know that Apple will implement namespace tags for sure. But the scriptable money part, that's the part that brings it all together. Because even if you're not in this for money, and most of us aren't, just seeing those bits, you're part of the network, the physical network. There's a payment going. People are sending value. You're getting it. You're receiving it. That's exciting. And there's always the possibility that this will grow and lots of people will do it. And it's, you know, all trends point that way. But it's when you really stop and think about scriptable money, how that solves so many of these problems. That's why I keep coming back to LSAT.
It's worth a shot. Yeah, it's worth a shot.
You want to explain it, what it is?
LSAT? If I understand, LSAT is a token that you get that's like a... It's got a lifetime. It's like a macaroon, kind of, is it not?
I think
that
so,
you get. Yeah. Yeah, and it allows you to interact with an API, and it's a way to get like a predefined. You're charging for the API for accesses to it, sort of like OpenGraph, and I think Podchaser does something.
Yeah, it's
something
it's,
like this.
It's HTTP, like a points. HTTP plus macaroons plus Lightning. That's LSAT. Right. So you set your permissions. You set the. And it works on the old error code. Was it 402 payment required? In the HTTP spec.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the hack.
And we had long discussions with some guys there in Austin about how to use it and that kind of thing to begin with. It ended up not being
right for us.
It wasn't right for us because we didn't want to charge for the API, but that. I mean, it may be time to revisit that. It could be an interesting play.
Worth thinking about. Because you authenticate, you know, and there's a payment, and you can, you know, totally set that. You know, it's like, okay, for this or for this particular transaction, this kind of transaction, this length of whatever. Just a thought.
So, like, another thing, and Mike, you're getting your trending data. Or some of your into sort of seed data from Apple. And this is the thing that's really been on my mind a lot lately is we have to have a lot of people end up doing that because it is a reliable source of data. But just like the directory, it's all centralized in this one gigantic company. And, you know, as big as Apple Podcasts is, it's also not necessarily representative of the whole world either. I mean, like the thing is, you look around and you see within every app, you're going to see their particular flavor of trending shows. So if you open up Overcast, you're going to see a lot of shows like Accidental Tech and Reconcilable Differences of people in that sphere of the Relay FM Mac world. That's always going to be at the top because they're heavy. That group is heavy users of that app. Same with the podcasting 2.0 apps. You're going to see, if you open up Podverse or Breeze, you're going to see, podcasting 2.0, No Agenda, Pod News at the top of those, lists. You go into Apple, you're going to see a lot of NPR and a lot of that kind of thing. So it would be really helpful if there was a distributed system or some protocol to get trending data from the hosting companies themselves. So like RSS.com, Transistor, Blueberry, Buzzsprout, Captivate, they could all publish maybe to us like completely anonymized just lists. And no numbers. It's not like, you know, they can just publish whatever they want. They're like, okay, here's the shows. Here's some a public listing of shows that we think are important. Who the hell even knows why? I mean, like, they don't even have to be like some kind of ranker where it's like, these are the most popular or these are trending. It can be whatever they want. I mean, people in their hosting company, people, their customers could pay them to be on these lists. I don't care. But just some sort of way to have a broad, decentralized, not coming from a single source, not coming from a single app, way of aggregating a bunch of this data together, so that apps like Ivy can pull that in from the decentralized network and not be so reliant on one source like Apple. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
So for what we get from Apple is just like their ratings and reviews, and that's how we can kind of extrapolate that into what's popular and what's not. But I think the OP3 stuff that's where I kind of ask in the Mastodon, you know, what if all the players just put that prefix on everything? Because then I think that does get sort of what you're talking about, where you'd have sort of an open list of what's popular, and it wouldn't be biased towards any one particular source, especially if lots of players would do this. I think you'd really be able to see amazing stuff, and then you'd be able to see, well, people that listen to this one, listen to that one. You could kind of make those connections. You'd have to do some pruning. The VPN example that you gave is a really good one. So you'd have to be a little bit careful and not just kind of take it without looking at it. But I think there's a lot of possibility there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good use of this data. I'm really liking that idea. All in, okay. All in on that. Oh yeah, all in. Of course. I mean, just when it comes, if we continue down the road of what is unique, what is this, what is that, it's death.
When I mentioned this, there was a question.
You're so optimistic.
The podcaster might not want this available, and so maybe there will be like an opt out or something. But I think if you did it from the standpoint of an opt out instead of an opt in, you would get the data that you need pretty fast.
Yeah, which will require eight Slack threads for 4 months of everyone agreeing that that's good or bad.
Well, so everybody, including John Spurlock, has been saying that, you know, no, the podcaster should control this. The podcaster should control this. No, I'm not so sure. I'm not saying that I disagree. Let me just preface that strongly by saying, when I say I'm not sure, I truly mean I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out where I fall on that. Because if a bunch of apps did what you mentioned, and you know Stephen Bell mentioned this as well, he was like, you know, why don't we just put this prefix on everything and just look at it? Well, I mean, I definitely understand the sentiment of podcasters may not want their numbers to be public. You know, but I'm not sure we've really fully thought out sort of the ethical landscape of what that means. That may not be as cut and dried as we think.
The question is, for what reason is it public? And the only thing the industry has ever focused on is rankers and CPMs. I will say that I think John Spurlock was correct, but he wasn't entirely correct on Podland. He said, well, you know, having stats used to be the unique selling proposition for the hosting companies. No, it still is. We have the best stats. We have the most accurate stats. It hasn't quite transitioned yet to, we have all the podcasting 2.0 features, and maybe stats is still what you sell people on. And I think there's a genuine fear by hosting companies to give that up. Might be their secret sauce. You know, I hear
the interface though.
Excuse me.
They would still get to have like their interface, so they could still sell like, we have the best stats interface and we can do interesting things with that data the best.
I can't speak on their behalf. I'll bet you they're all laughing at us right now, even talking about it, because we don't know what we're talking about. But I hear the passion that Todd puts into his whole being when he's talking about the stats. And there's a lot of love and hurt behind that to get to where he's comfortable with what they're doing.
Well, they laugh at us every week anyway. And that,
hell yeah.
Like, here's, let me flesh this out a little bit more. It's kind of coming to me. It's becoming more clear as I hear this discussion. I think it may be okay in this instance because, like, the hosting company is still the first party download measurer. It always will be. So the host, let's just take, since we're talking, since Todd is so vocal about stats, let's take Blueberry. Blueberry is still going to get, they're going to get all the stats. They're going to get everything, no matter where it's played, regardless, because they're the source of the audio. If apps like Ivy, CurioCast or Podverse, if apps like that, let's just say we get 5, 6, 7 podcasting 2.0 apps that implement this, it's going to be obvious that this is not a complete picture of the stats. So it's not going to be an issue where people are like, you've made my stats public. Well, no, because you're not. If 90% of your plays are on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, these stats are irrelevant. They're not even close to being accurate. And everybody understands that they're not going to be even close to being accurate.
Dave, good luck with that. It's the programming is too deep. I feel you. I think I agree with you. I'm not going to die on that hill, getting people to allow podcast apps to put a prefix. No. Nope. Everyone's going to ruin their business. Stats have become such a protected thing. You know, it's like, this is your gold. This is how you get money. You need to grow your show to have higher stats to get money. No.
You're so Scottish right now. You're from the Highlands, aren't you?
It's not going to happen.
You drink whiskey before the show.
It's not going to happen.
Well, if that's the case, and you're probably right. I give up easy. You're probably right. But in that case, hosting companies, give us open rankings. Give us open lists.
Well, no, I mean, I
want it for the index.
Yes, no, I understand. Oh, darling, believe me, I know you want data. Title of the show, Data Whore. Dave the Data Whore.
I wear it proudly. I need a sign.
You know, this should be like, would you like to send anonymous stats to the OP3 open project so we can add to the data to make podcasting better? And by the way, I would like to receive from somebody a definitive list of benefits that I can get for doing that. So while you and John Spurlock are all jizzy and jitty about the data, I'm like, okay, well, I got 5 different numbers. I got a chart. It's cool to see people wake up on Monday and then they start to download. But, I mean, it's not going to affect my programming. It's not going to... I'm not once in my life, even though I've funded creation of stats within my own companies, I've never gone back and said, okay, what happened at this moment? Oh, I'm going to do more of that. It's a lie. Okay. I'm just going to say it. I've said it myself a million times. You know, we have the boostergrams at timestamp. Now in Albie, I'm like, oh, it's so cool. Now you can find out exactly what you were saying when the boostergram came in. You know what? It doesn't work. Because you have to go back. Mean? Well, the boostergram came in. It's usually unrelated to the topic at that moment in the timeline. Yeah. So you wind up not doing it. You say, well, was it? I mean, there's really, it's fun. I like to know the overall trend where people like on No Agenda, where the stats that we have, you could see the drop off first donation segment and then a number of people, you know, a significant portion coming back. That's fun to see. But I've seen that before. From the Apple player stats. What else is there that's really going to excite me other than it's enough to get ads? Seriously. Oh, look how many people are listening to me from Colorado.
Yeah.
Or look how many people are listening to me in Japan. That's exciting. Yeah, in 1993. Seriously. Well, seriously.
Out of all the shows that publish, and there's so many of them now, I mean, 110,000 over the last 3 days, 110,000 podcasts have published an episode. Over the last 10 days, 246,000. Out of all those shows, a very small number of those shows truly care about making money. They do like stats. They do want people to know that people are listening. And that's all they really care about.
Right. Okay.
Everybody wants to know that they're kind of being heard and being listened to. So, it gives you that excitement.
Okay. So let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a woman I know.
Can I climb up on your knee?
So I've been working with this guy, this Belgian guy who we have a mutual friend who's a entertainer in the Benelux. And he said, can you see what my buddy is doing? And he started this thing called 100% Retro, and it's a live radio station. It's only available on stream. Then he's done quite a lot of work in the global nature of it by hiring people all across the globe in different time zones. And he's done this come some kind of trickery to the playlist. So during drive time in the US, you won't get some weird song maybe that's in a different language. But he has Israel, South Africa, England, New York, Los Angeles. And he's got Kim Wilde doing shows for him and Ben Librand mixes. And he's shelling out a lot of money. And so he's getting ready to start implement his advertising, which means he has to, look at how many stream starts do you get. I'm not compensated. I have no stock or anything. I just like the guy. So once every couple of weeks, we talk on a Friday for an hour. I talked to him this morning and I said, well, I think we're close enough. I'm going to put you into podcasting 2.0 live. And so I whipped up a little feed in Sovereign Feeds, and I threw his stream URL in there. I opened up an Albi wallet, connected that in the value block, bada bing, bada boom. And so we get on the Zoom call, the video call, and I say, okay, here's CurioCaster. And I was showing him, because I was doing a screen share, but also showed him on camera. The same with Podverse. Thank you very much, Mitch, and everybody for rushing like mofos to get that done. And I kind of followed. It was a great little demo. And he's a friendly guy. I'm just trying to promote this concept. And CurioCaster, you look for 100% with a percent sign retro.
And I found it, yeah.
And it pops up and you hit live. And the chat works and the wallet works. And then I'm saying, okay, now look at Albi. And he's looking at Albi at the live, and this thing is just spurting confetti everywhere, showing 200 sats a minute streaming in. I'm showing the boostograms. He's tripping out. He says, so this is, people are sending money right now just for listening? So yeah, man, that's the whole part, the whole beauty of it. But you can also just look at the trend of who's listening, when they're listening. And he thought that was spectacular. He said, that's so much better than the stream starts. Because, in the streaming radio model, they also have all kinds of bullcrap numbers, and they still can't get it all exactly right. So they do stream starts, okay, partial downloads, range requests. No, but when you have an actual payment going from A to B, doesn't matter what the number is. I mean, as I said, we had like, what do we have on our Get Albi? It was like 57 people streaming sats at that moment in time. That's super exciting, and it happens from the moment you launch.
I just sent him 1,000 sats.
I got so
to the 100% retro live stream.
So I got really distracted as we were getting everything set up, but I have it in as a clip in Podverse, and I'll just hit play, and hopefully it's very risky, but I don't know exactly if it has all the pieces in there I want. But it was my hate listen. The liberal intellectual elites, Kara Swisher and Professor Scott Galloway,
who got their feed hijacked. By the way,
they got their feed hijacked
by the New York Times when they left. She went to some Wall Street Journal. Is that where she went?
Yeah.
She went to some other place and left the New York Times.
Verge.
Sway left the New York Times, and then she left her feed behind, and they converted, they just took her feed and converted it into a different show.
They actually, she mentioned they were going to do that.
Yeah, evidently she was not happy about it.
Well, it wasn't hers to take with her. It wasn't her feed.
No.
So, nope. No. All right. Well, whatever. So they have on Jessica Yellen, who I guess she was a mainstream news reporter, very seasoned. She's been around, and she started I started a media company, but she really is doing a podcast, and it may be video as well, but I think it's audio, called News Not Noise. And it's become extremely popular. And I'm not sure exactly if it's all in this clip, but she was talking about the way, you know, because of course, like, well, how do you make money on this podcast? And we'll see if her answer is in here. Hold on.
It's CNN, where he used to work, is pushing, you know, and again, Chris Cuomo is at this News Nation, which is Project Neutral. Is that the right direction? Do you see more of this?
Yeah,
and
stop,
can they
stop,
keep
stop.
Audiences? Hold on. You know,
yeah.
Kara Swisher sounds almost exactly like Hillary Clinton.
Same milieu, baby. Same milieu.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Boy, that sounds really close. I thought that was Hillary Clinton as a guest. Sorry.
What do you think, Mike? Is that Hillary Clinton?
It sounded like it to me.
I'm not sure if this bit is in here, but she says she makes money from, she has partnerships, which means, you know, like brand advertiser. She has, she gets payments from some of the platforms. So I presume that's like YouTube or whatever. And she also takes donations. And I'm not sure if she says it in this clip because it's more about what Scott Galloway says. But she at one point said she really wished she had started earlier with donations from the audience. Now, hopefully it's in this clip.
Fox is only growing with their anger machine, their persistent rage machine.
Well, I think the answer is yes. I do think it will work and it'll keep audiences. I think that you have to shift your expectations. When I was growing up and I watched CNN, you know, in the Tiananmen Square moment, and it was just the centerpiece of the world to me. CNN drew huge eyeballs at major events and accepted that they would get less audience in between. It also became a place where, you know, you could actually reach independents and swing voters, which is enormously valuable and profitable, right? You can charge more for that. So I do think there's a space for that. I think, listen, when I started on Instagram, I was one of the only people doing what I do. But now there's a bazillion people telling you what matters in the world, all outraged and, you know, dancing and screaming about how awful this party is or that. So there's plenty of left-right content out there. And I think there is a white space sort of that attracts the people who feel a little homeless right now. And I don't know, you know, exactly how CNN is going to execute on that. But I think that Chris Licht in particular has a track record of making very watchable TV, and people should just give him a moment to do it.
Yeah. Scott, last question.
What advice would you have if you started this new media company and you've done it yourself? What advice would you give to somebody who wants to start a media company that's news-centered?
Started it here.
What mediums would you use? Business model? It sounds like you've already said go right to, I mean, is it fair to call it tipping? I don't know what you call it, like the Telegraph model or the Guardian model. What advice? You're starting this with a clean slate. How would you do it different?
I like that he says, tipping, the Telegraph model, the Guardian model. What Guardian has a model now?
The disdain, is just dripping off of him when he says tipping.
Tipping. Let's just roll that back. That was so nasty how he said that. But she actually has a great comeback.
Very watchable TV, and people should just give him a moment to do it.
Yeah. Scott, last question.
What advice would you have if you started this new media company and you've done yourself.
He's disgusting.
What advice would you give to somebody who wants to start a media company that's news-centered? What mediums would you use? Business model? It sounds like you've already said go right to, I mean, is it fair to call it tipping? I don't know what you call it, like the Telegraph model or the Guardian model. What advice? You're starting this with a clean slate. How would you do it differently?
I guess I would start with a platform outside of any of the current social media platforms and consistently drive to your own website or your own newsletter or whatever the thing is you're doing outside the algorithms from day one.
She's married to Todd Cochran.
Have super high numbers. And just really focus in on what the audience is responding to. And continue to deliver that. It's this conversation. I think, you know, everybody poo-poos Web3 or where's it going? But the thing that I find interesting about Web3 is it's this ongoing circular conversation. And I do think conceptually that's where the media needs to go. And those are the businesses that will really excel, because we are sorting into sort of, I call it not like-minded, but like-valued communities. And so lean into that.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
It's too bad, because before that she went through this whole rap. Like, if I had known what I knew then, I would have started right away with the audience. But she's saying the same thing we're talking about. It's like, it's a circular, it's a loop. You know, the donation, the boostograms, that's the loop.
So you're saying that we are a like valued community?
I would rather rip off my nuts than ever describe us as that.
Mission accomplished.
But in their world, yeah, yeah, like valued community. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Well, okay, as an app, Mike, you've constructed this system that pulls out all these relevant bits, and it does a really good job of it. The thing that's sort of missing, I guess, step two would be pulling in, like taking signals from the listener, as to what, you know, to that. So you have the circular thing there. Is that what, maybe you're already doing that? How would that fit in?
Yeah, I think that would make everything a lot better. Right now, because of the data that we have available, all we can really use is sort of the supply of podcasts. And so we can see like how many podcasts have this or how many episodes have this. But yeah, having that sort of listening data or I mean, even just the download data, as messy as that is, would help us a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you trigger off that at all right now? Or are you purely just like the content side, you're taking all your signals from that, from the content itself?
Right now it's all from the content itself.
Okay. If there's a theme of what we're talking about in general today, I mean, really, it really is like how to get a better signal from the audience, from listeners, and from the hosting company, like how to get better quality signal in here so that everybody is, you know, there's this stupid idea of discoverability whereas it's just something I'm not that concerned about, but it does, like, if there's the word of mouth idea, which is still king within podcasting, like that word of mouth idea can be converted into an actual signal that apps and index and every that we can all pick up on, except it can't be done with clips and things.
How about
like that
this? Because the clips, I like where you're going. How about I connect my podcaster, my listening wallet, to a data dump wherever? So that you can at least, I'd be perfectly happy to show you my category one payments, which is the streaming data. I'd be more than happy to send that to, which, you know, I know how that comes in. There's a lot of nice data in that. I'll send that to OP3 or to Ivy or, you know, someone who's going to be open with it. Now, I think now you're talking. Now you're talking. I will send my listening data. I'm happy to do it.
I will too.
Make that a box in the app. And, you know, I don't want boostograms going all over the place, even though they do kind of, but
not the messages, just the amounts of the show.
Yeah. Well, not even the messages. No. I'm talking about, look, it can be
Yeah, I don't want my messages going all over the place. I just think that's messy.
No, I don't. Also, no, I would want. Look, it's all open. It doesn't matter. Make it selectable. You can do only streams, boosts, whatever, however you want to do it. I'd be that was kind of where I was going earlier. I'd be happy to put in a 1%. You know, if by doing that I get recommendations back. Well, you know, this guy over here listens to the same podcast you listen, but he also listens to her. So why don't you check this out? I mean, that's something I think is fantastic data, and it and the users can bond together and make it happen. We don't necessarily need anybody else.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's not like there's no algorithm in between. It's you know what this is? It's just like share your OPML.
It is exactly share your OPML, only done with money. Yeah.
With money.
Impala 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Yeah, it's share your lightning is what that is. Chain lightning. That's it. Chain lightning. That's
chain,
what it's called.
Chain lightning.
So I would do that. Okay, so Ivy, you said you're working, Mike, you're working on putting in value for value, right?
That's right. Yeah, Mitch has an open sourced JavaScript file where you kind of take this blob and drop it on the page, and then the JavaScript just turns it into the form. So mm-hmm. I done some experiments with that, and that was super helpful in bootstrapping that.
Because if you and Mitch made a modification to that library where I could choose to make share my boost data, I would hit that checkbox in a heartbeat. Yeah, I would share it back out, share it, you know, I mean, you obviously already have it, so you'll start getting those signals immediately, but like, I mean, I'd share it out with the world. I bet a lot of people would.
Where should it live? I mean, you know, the interesting thing, Dave, we have that data.
Do we?
Yeah, we get 1% on the index. The index literally has this data.
It's funny that I didn't realize this.
I mean, why am I? Guess what? We don't have to develop anything. It's done. Meeting adjourned, everybody. Beautiful work. We have the data.
This is how not shady. This is how not shady we are that we didn't even know we had.
So, son, get to importing into MySQL.
I'm on the tip. I got it.
Get that thing. What's that platform that, a lot of my ex-employees went there. My old employees went there. It's like this huge flat database concept. You can, then they sell it to companies, throw all your data in there and they can dig out whatever you want.
Splunk.
Yes. Splunk.
Yeah. We'll throw Splunk. We'll put it all in a big Splunk.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
But think about what we could extract, anonymize, mm-hmm. but you can, because you can hash the usernames or whatever. That can be up for debate how we do that, but it doesn't really matter. You know, make that available, and you know, do the query or whatever, and just whatever it is, make it available so that people can then connect. Okay, this person's listening. You know, like Ivy. Connect this person's listening to this podcast and this podcast. Other people listen to that one. So check this out. This may interest you. I mean, that's the basic idea of recommendation, isn't it?
Interesting. Now, you've distracted me from OP3. This is a success. You've successfully distracted me away from...
My work is done here. Yes.
Yes.
It would also tell you, one thing we see a lot of is people click on and kind of going back to how you opened it, people click on a podcast, listen to it. Maybe they're like, oh, this isn't for me, and close it quickly. And so you would sort of, this would get at that you made them a bad recommendation, maybe even really bad because they wasted some of their time on it, versus having them listen through the whole thing. So that as in terms of like what's your, you know, when you're, if you're training a model on that, what's your objective function? That would be like a bad output or outcome if they only listen to a little bit of it.
I mean, making this data set available in some way, Dave. I mean, the ML AI guys would be jitty. I mean, think about what you can then go to amounts. Okay. So, which typically I don't care about, but in this case, you can see, well, this person who provides a lot of value back, you know, doesn't provide any value to this, you know, so is that a weighting system? You know, can you then weigh popularity? I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to just try and get some general behavioral information, but something that we can immediately turn around and hand back to the people, mm-hmm. not to the government and not to creepy corporations, which 100% of them are, to people to, you know, do something that will benefit them, make their lives better, recommend a podcast, find people who listen to the same. Can you imagine that? Would you like to connect with people who also listen to this podcast? Well, you can send them. You can send them a message. And it's completely anonymous because I don't know who I'm sending it to, but they'll receive it. And, you know, send it to their Albi wallet. I mean, this is what I can do all day long.
Well, this obviously needs to be a new weekly massive dump.
Massive dumps.
Yeah. But this could be another weekly massive dump where we just anonymize everything. And you know, it may be that we take, this is probably the best idea. Take the messages out, take the username, hash the usernames, and then take the don't use the original numerology amounts. Use the post deduction, excellent, the post fee deduction amount. That way you can't reverse because people are going to see a million 2112s coming from me and they're like, oh, that's Dave.
Right, you know? right.
They did dumps. They call them dumps, big, massive dumps.
This show is full of massive dumps. We got so many.
Let's thank a few people. Since we're $1.21 right now, I'd like to start with some of the boostograms that have come in. Oh my goodness. Pre-show. Let's see. So we got here. 17,776 from Boobery. Lavish and I went to a convention recently and ran into a gentleman who runs both a heavy metal podcast and a radio stream. I got his contact. We'll reach out to him about PC2O. Is there any resources, guides written for introducing streaming sats to radio streams? Or is it the same setup as Icecast? Well, to go take a look at the feed for 100% Retro. And he can get it in today.
It's perfect. It fired right up for me and I was able to boost it immediately.
I saw it. I saw your boost come in. Loving the stream, you said. Mm-hmm. Macintosh, Short Row of Ducks, 2222. Shout outs to the best podcast 2.0 in the universe. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Martin Lindeskog, Rush Boost, 2112 Satoshis. Thank you very much. Chimp, 13,579. What did you F up? What I F'd up is I forgot to email Mike. That's what I F'd up. He was listening before we started the stream. Another 13,579 from Chimp. I wish they could all be Indiana girls. You know it. There's another 930 from Martin Lindeskog, David Lee, and Daniel J. Dave Lee and Daniel J. Lewis started the International Podcast Day. Great initiative. Okay, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
So they just made it up. Cool.
Yeah.
Jingle bells. Oh, this is Boobery. 11,111. Jingle bells. Apple smells. I heart laid an egg. Okay, thank you. Sir Spencer, 42,069. Happy International Podcast Day to the whole board. Lauren and I want to invite everyone to get lit with us for Bowls with Buds this Sunday, directly following No Agenda. We're talking to Bitcoiner author Eric Yakes about his book, The Seventh Property, Bitcoin and the Monetary Revolution. Nice. Harv Hat, 10101. Thank you, Harv Hat. Boomy. Hey there, Boomy. 2100 coming in from Podverse. Let's see. We have Primitive One with 104,000 sats.
Go podcasting!
Just add that in there. And says, de-douche me, keep up the great work. Podcasting 2.0 and impending pimps will change free entertainment forever. Free as in freedom. I welcome all to check out the live podcast I do with my buddy Chimp called Saturday Night Lit. We're Bitcoin only and 2.0 compliant, but not yet certified. Cough, cough. Show starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on your favorite live compatible podcast player or stream. audioghost.miami. Yes, we're from Miami. If you are to get in touch, fellow swamp thing. Okay. Chad F, 3333. No, note 6969 from Sir Spencer. Any node runners who are still experiencing all these ongoing woes, I presume lightning nodes, I want to suggest running your node in hybrid mode with Tor and ClearNet using a VPS via tunnelsats.com. Boing, 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 boing.
Whoa, that's voodoo.
They have a great guide, and I got mine up on Raspy Blitz in about 6 minutes. If anyone has any questions, hit me up on podcastindex.social. Happy to troubleshoot with you. Very nice. Cool. Eric P.P., 25,000 sats. The best stats are sats, he says. So right you are. Then we have, let's see. That's it. That's what we have. Yeah, that's the last one we had come in from the live show. Thank you all very much for providing us value. And we've been following along in the chat room. Nice to see everybody there.
Are you, I couldn't tell, are you on Android, Mike?
Yes, we had a little administrative issue with them, but we're back up on Android, Android and iOS.
What was the administrative issue?
There was something we had to like log in and do something and every so often, and we get our stats through an alternate means, and so they thought we were inactive, so they ended the developer account, so we had to redo it, which is kind of a pain.
How much does it suck? Man.
Yeah. That, so you lost all your, I guess you lost all your reviews, all your all your downloads, all
that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you on an F Droid, or is it just on the Google Play Store?
It's on the Google Play Store. Yeah.
Okay. Is F Droid, does it have to be open source to be on F Droid, or is that just alternative store? Straight up.
No, I don't think it has to be open source. Does it? I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Are you, Mike, are you, what technology are you using? Are you like React Native or is it a native app? How's that work?
It is Flutter. So that was where kind of a nice, write it once and deploy it both. Yeah.
Flutter is really like, I keep my instinct is to discount it as a, you know, because it's not because of anything that it is. It's just that we've seen so many of these things that have come and been cross-platform, you know, mobile, write once, run anywhere things, and they always are like a flash in the pan. But Flutter seems to really be sticking around. I mean, like, it seems to have staying power. This may be the first one that really has kind of stuck the landing.
Yeah, takes a little bit to get used to, but it wasn't so bad once you kind of get in there. There are some things that I wish I would have known. I think this was the first Flutter app I had built, and so I think there were like fundamental ways of constructing the app that we need to fix in terms of, you know, to get the lock screen controls and integrate with CarPlay and that sort of thing. But that's where I'm thinking at some point, probably in the next, I don't know, I don't want to put a date on it, but in the next few months, I'd love to just kind of redo the native component of this. We really focus almost exclusively on the data itself and, you know, merging these things together when they're synonyms and just doing a lot of that kind of work. And I think it's time to come back and work on the UI.
So do you have, so how often do you have to drop out of Flutter and go down to like a Swift thing or the underlying OS level APIs to get something done? Is it rare or is it common? How does that work?
So far, it's been pretty rare. Pretty rare. I think it was with Android. We had to do something weird. But yeah, it's actually been pretty nice. The libraries that are available for audio are not bad. So yeah, I've been pretty happy with it, actually.
Do they just call the underlying OS provided libraries, or do they have actual audio engines that are themselves?
It's my understanding that they all interact with the existing native components.
Okay, and that seems to be like that. That's not real buggy. It seems to work okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, everybody, you know, a lot of people are using it. The Anytime Player uses it. Breeze uses Flutter. I think Fountain uses Flutter, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, like, it seems to be the way to go. I mean, because the reality is writing a native app, like, you know, keeping track of two native code bases at the same time plus a web code base. That's a mess, man. I mean, you need a whole team of people to do that. So I'm glad that Flutter exists, because I mean, the promises of that in the past have been pretty hollow, but it seems like this is actually legit.
Long ago, I worked for an insurance company, and we saw a competitor do something. I was like, oh, we could do that in PhoneGap and no problem. I could do that in a month. And it turned out that one critical component was missing, and I worked like 20 hours a day for that month to make sure I hit the deadline. It was awful.
Oh no. Yeah. There's been so many promises that have gone hollow, you know, gone empty over the years of cross platform. But I mean, I don't know. Is the language, is it Dart, I guess, right?
It is Dart. Yeah.
Okay. And is that, it looks, I don't want to say it looks sort of JavaScript-y, but
yeah,
but not. I think exactly.
If you know JavaScript, you'll pick it up in no time.
Okay, because I mean, is it typed? Is it? I know nothing about Dart. Is it?
It's like everything is a widget, so everything is sort of nested inside itself. But you know, I think once you know one language and you pretty much can putz through and do, you know, any other language pretty much.
Okay. So that's what you were talking about earlier when you said you were going to like do a ground up rewrite of the mobile apps, is because you've learned some stuff now that you've got technical debt and you're going to try to go and erase that.
Exactly. Yeah. There's this technical debt that I think to fit, it would be easier to kind of burn it down and start over than to try and fix it. And I think that would give us a lot of, you know, a lot of other things. Just even basic things like my sister-in-law was like, oh, we're not using your app because it doesn't have 15-second skip. And it's like, well, like that's an obvious, easy thing that we could add, you know, even now without rewriting anything. But it's like we need those kind of table stakes features and the UI component, because I think the data is in a really good spot right now. And just like I said, getting those UI things right. And then all the 2.0 stuff will go in there too.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Shall we thank some people, Dave?
Yeah, sure.
Do you have time to hang out, Mike, while we do this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some PayPals here. We got
Fiat, Fountain. Fiat Fun Coupons.
Fiat Fun Coupons. Fountain slung some Fiat Fun Coupons at us. $200 from Oscar and the gang over there at Fountain. And we appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Paula,
thank you.
Shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
That's really how you do it. Don't go to the game company. Send it to us.
Yeah, thank you. thank you very much, Oscar. I appreciate it. A lot of apps. A lot of people use us. Even a couple of bigger company, non-app related companies like media companies. I see them hitting the API constantly. You know, pretty hard, and
they've never sent us anything.
They don't give us a dime, so
no.
It's always very appreciated when somebody does that. Thank you, Oscar.
Interesting. The bigger the company gets, the less they give a shit about you.
Man, God, that's so true.
Uh-huh.
John Spurlock, $200.
Whoa!
Paula,
yeah. Crap!
Shot
nice.
Caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, John says, thanks for aggregating and aggravating and hunting down those podcast dupes in the index. You're welcome, John.
Love your project, man. Love messing around with it.
Yeah, always always fun. Always love to put you led me down the rabbit hole. Adam is trying to de-hypnotize me today.
You've been defragmented.
Okay, you're fixed, Dave.
Whew, cleared the head. Thank you. $10 from Jesse Hunter. No note from Jesse, but we appreciate that $10.
Thank you, Jesse.
That is it for some PayPals, and we got some boostergrams. Gene Bean, 5,000 sats through Castomatic. He says, I'm starting up a new podcast called Volunteer Technologist and trying to do so utilizing the things y'all talk about. Podping via Buzzsprout, OP3.dev, and Albie's Saturn. I'm really curious to see how these tools and others evolve. I love the refocusing on openness. Well, thank you, Gene Bean.
Boost.
Thank you.
Kyron from the Memorials Podcast gave us a big lower row of ducks at 22-222 through Fountain. He said, would make my year to come on the show, Dave. Hit me up anytime.
You know, the going rate is 50,000 sats to be on the show.
Yeah, you just missed it. Yeah. You just missed it.
Oh, hey, Mike, do you have an Albie wallet or something so we can put you in the split for today's show?
I do. I can get that over to you.
Yeah, if you email that to me, then if you can do that as quick as you can so I can pump it out right away and get you in the split.
I would appreciate that.
Show you what real men do. Show you a real man's split.
No, that
was wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. It just came out. I didn't mean it.
Not things that are not a show title.
Sorry. a real man's
split. Yeah, Kyron, we'll definitely have you on the show, Kyron. Yeah,
don't be so easy.
I gotta play hard to get, baby. Yeah,
don't be a pushover.
Forged Foe gave us a row of sticks. 11-111. He says, go podcasting.
Oh, thank you.
Go podcasting!
Sir Lurks a Lot gave us 5,000 sats through Podverse, and he says, you might consider that listeners are looking for a signal to help them find good podcasts. Well, we just talked about that just a minute ago.
Yeah.
It's provenance. It's provenance.
That's right.
Leaderboards are useful because you can presume that if a show gets a lot of support, then maybe it is worth checking out. I also really like clips as they're listener curated samples. Discovery is a signal to noise problem for the listeners. These things help. P.S. I'm not a podcaster, just a podcast listener who loves podcasting 2.0. Go podcasting.
Yeah, cool. Well, you just...
Go podcasting!
You just learned that a lot of that could be coming. We're sucking out the node. We're going to suck out the node and dump into the DB.
Sir, thank you, Sir Lux a Lot. 5552 from Satoshi Stream, and he just gives us a smiley face.
Oh, thank you, Satoshi
Stream. Boost!
Another 5552 from Satoshi Stream, and he says... New interface is not live yet. Rebuilding everything. Would love to talk on PC 2.0 once we're live. ETA quarter five.
Boost, okay. Boost.
They'll be ready quarter five. We'll have you on in quarter six.
That's all funny. Right. Yeah. We'll be ready for you.
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah. 2100 sats from Boomy over at the Albi headquarters through Podverse. No note from Boomy. And he gave us another 2100. Thanks, Boomy.
Thanks, Boom.
Boom, George boom. Orwell gave us a little row of sticks. 111. He says, thank you for your courage.
Thank you.
Roy Scheinfeld.
There he is.
Different. Here's a different one, though. This is not 54321.
Oh.
This is 44444.
Huh.
And he says, it's my 44th birthday.
Aww.
Happy birthday, Roy.
Happy birthday, Roy. We're going to ride the lightning with you. Woo! Happy birthday, Roy, 44. Shut up, baby. It's a baby. It's a baby. I didn't know.
Happy birthday, Roy.
I didn't know he was that young. Bastard.
I hope you have a steak dinner and excellent hummus on your birthday, Roy.
Shana Tova. I think I missed it, but Shana Tova.
What does that mean?
Happy Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Oh, okay. Roy came in again with 10,000 sats, and he says his message is podcastindex.org.
Oh, I know. Okay. He's like, well, I only sent 44. I feel bad. Normally, I should send 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So,
okay.
That's his guilt.
I'm a big advocate of guilt.
Yes, guilt is good. Guilt is good.
Yes. We need more of that. 3333 from Dabozak through Fountain. No note.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dabozak. Let's see. 9780 through Fountain from Boris Kozelski. Boris Kozelski. He says, you asked about Polish Zloty. Yes. Ooh, he's got actual letters in here with like strikes through them and stuff. This looks legit.
That's cool.
Yeah. You asked about Polish Zloty. One Zloty is 978 Satoshi. So I just send 10 Zlotys.
Oh.
Not much, but power in numbers. Starbucks coffee is about 12 Zlotys.
Cool.
Right? We have no Euro, but we are on the European Union. On the podcasty.info, we have registered over 7,220 Polish language podcasts with RSS.
Nice.
Word podcasty in Polish means podcasts. Thanks for V4V International Lifestyle.
That's cool.
Thanks,
man.
Boris.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you know, I would love to. I mean, it's just such a cool name. I'm sure that they'll do a CDBC, a central bank digital currency of the Zloty. Can you imagine boosting someone in Zlotys? I mean, that's just, oh man, you Zlotied all over me.
LCSB did give us a good rundown. He gave us
in-depth
explanation.
Yeah. Hey, at least I knew of the existence of the Zloty.
Yeah, oh, you were all over it. I mean, you knew
hey, show me a Zloty, I'm all over it.
Yeah, the Polish language, lots of Z's, lots of Y's, lots of strikes through letters.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
It's almost
at all.
Like, you know, I was writing this O and I thought, no, that's wrong. Slash
strike it out.
Strike it out.
Excelsi sent us 8,008 sats, boob donation through Fountain. And he says, pouring out sats for Brianna.
Oh.
Brianna!
Gene Everett sent us a row of sticks, 1111. And he says, mini boost.
All right.
Boost.
Cass Peeland. Hey, Cass. He sent us 3690.
Nice.
He says, oh, God, this is Dutch. Lekker Shotje?
Lekker Shotje? That's the whole message? No, there's more. Hello? Uh-oh. Did I just lose my internet?
I hear you.
Oh, you're there? Okay. Dave? Oh, I know what happened. I know what happened. Hold on a second.
Boot! Boot!
Oh, wait.
Boot!
No. It wasn't a full freeze. Just clean feet froze.
Okay, so Lekker Shotje. So it's great show, which is really a little more endearing the way. Okay, it's great show. Okay. Really nice. Great show. Really great show. Yeah. Lekker Shotje.
Okay, and then Bedankt.
Bedankt, thanks.
Voor.
For.
For. Julie Work.
For your work.
Okay. J U L L I E.
Yeah, Julie, your work.
Julie. W E R K.
Is your work. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for your work.
Lekker Shotje. Bedankt voor Julie Werk.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Exactly. You can get laid in Amsterdam. Congratulations.
that's the goal. Yeah, that's the promise. That's the goal.
Okay. As long as we have a focus here, people.
Okay. Cass Peeland says, get Dvorak on board fund, 3690
cents. Good luck. That.
Yeah, it's going to take more than 3690
cents. From time to time, I'll say, hey, you know, there's this place and it's a bank and we could have sats go there or Bitcoin and they actually put it directly into our bank account. He just ignores those emails. He won't even he won't even acknowledge I sent them.
They go to spam.
Whatever. Yeah.
Relaxed Mail sent us 22222, big row of ducks, and he's Sue Fountain. He says, do have a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a site for the super newbie trying to use podcasting 2.0? A friend, i.e. me, is wanting to use this, but don't know where to start, and I'm not finding any place that has all the resources to be able to easily learn the how-tos. Also, no sir, the Relaxed Mail is not a MGTOW site, nor is it a red pill site. The Relaxed Mail is a site that helps men to take control of their lives without playing the victim. Find more at relaxedmail.com. Go podcasting.
Yo, yo, go podcasting. Well, I was going to say, hold on a second.
Go podcasting!
So I'm not sure. Does he want to start as a listener or as a podcaster? I guess as a podcaster.
See, this is the problem. He said, people say this sometimes. They say, how do I start with podcasting 2.0? And I don't know whether they mean like the tags and the namespace, or that they mean value for value. I don't know.
Right. Be more clear and send another boost and we'll help you out.
If you want to start with value for value, if that's what you're wanting, I would suggest to go to Podcaster Wallet and claim your feed. And then there's links there in the Podcaster Wallet dashboard to each of the services where you can sign up to do it. And I would suggest you click on some of those links and just read, because like Fountain has a really good guide. Albi has a good guide.
It's the same one.
Satoshi Stream.
Albi and Fountain is the same guide.
Nice.
I'm here all weekend.
Just click. You took me off guard with that. Click on the stuff. Click on those links and just read about them and see, you know, they're pretty clear. They'll tell you what to do. But like, if it's like the tags and things like that, just post your question, jump on podcastindex.social or whatever and ask, and we'll help you out.
Or valueforvalue.info. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn about value for value, the international lifestyle, and there are some guides, some points there to some guides.
I'm still laughing about that. Mitch sent us 3333 from Podverse. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you,
appreciate
Mitch.
It, buddy. No note. Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, Podcasting Hall of Famer through Podverse. He says, great show as always. In honor of International Podcast Day, any chance of hearing the Daily Source intro for old time's sake? Oh.
I don't even know if I have it. DSC opener? Oh, Redux.
On a pad.
It's a Redux.
With 16 million sysadmins ensuring 5-9's uptime, the 21st century of radio starts here. Beaming out live on noagendastream.com. Podcasting, it's Adam Curry.
You know, you sound is so young right there.
You know what I should have done? Hold on a second. What was it? Was that, yeah, I guess I did sound a little young. I don't know. Where's my, I screwed it up already. I can't figure anything out anymore.
What'd you do?
I was going to do something incredibly cute and start a song, but now I can't find the song. So,
oh
yeah.
Linkin Park rules. Sent us 10,000 sats. Thank you, Linkin Park. No note. Chimp of the Live Chimp podcast sent us 20,202 sats through Podverse, and he says, pretty sure Obama was drinking hot dog flavored water. What? I have no idea what. Hold that's up.
Let me try this. Do you mind if just take it back? Well, fix it in post. No one will ever notice.
Do it.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Just for my own vibe.
With 16 million sysadmins ensuring 5-9's uptime, the 21st century of radio starts here. Beaming out live on noagendastream.com. Podcasting, it's Adam Curry.
Yeah! Thank God it's Friday, everybody! Turn up the knob and rip it off!
Okay.
You can't take the DJ out of the guy. You just can't do it.
I feel so good when I do that.
I can tell. You're just full of joy. You're so full of joy when you do that. I love it.
I was that guy from the opening. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. Mike, you still there?
Yeah, it was great.
We got a boost 2052 through Fountain from user 887-964-0812-6420. He says, thank you for this early work in helping build this value for value infrastructure. You've inspired our high school robotics team, Nightcrawler 2052 here in Minnesota, to start our own weekly podcast as a way to distribute information to our supporters and fans.
Oh, cool.
Nice. It is another exciting update in our learning process with new technology and the possibilities it opens up. Let me hear you holla. Boost!
Hey, let us know when you're up.
Yeah.
I'll subscribe. For sure. Yeah, we'll promote it.
Oh, man, that's great.
Bunch of nerds. Another nerd podcast.
Yeah, but who gets the sats? The school system or the teacher? What? How does that work?
No, they...
Everybody on the team gets a split.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would say.
Mike Dale. 3,002 sats. He says, pod ping from PowerPress boost. Go podcasting.
Boost! Nice.
Go podcasting.
Yes. Yeah.
We didn't talk about that. That's I'm seeing the PowerPress boost. I mean, PowerPress pod pings come through.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Dynamite. I want to get I really want to get Horowitz on all this stuff. But you
why
know,
isn't he on? That's what
well
I'm
because he's stuck in Libsyn land, or I don't know if he's on Blueberry, or I don't. And, you know, he had Feed Burner in the middle of his chain somehow, and a whole bunch of, and so we finally worked it all out with him. But now I don't remember. But you know, his he does everything on WordPress, and so you know that is kind of the downside when you're using a WordPress with a certain plugin that works a certain way. You can't just add something else to it. Then it will mess up the site because he likes to just make one post and it posts on the website and it does the podcast. But I don't know.
Is he using PowerPress or what's he using on WordPress?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
He's using something that used to connect to FeedBurner for your podcast.
FeedBurner.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started.
Frank, let's see. Well, I mean, he could claim his podcast and a podcaster wallet and be done with it.
Yeah, but I don't want to help him. Screw him.
Okay. Franco Solario from Castomatic. Our buddy Franco sends us 1,038 sats. No note.
Thank you, Franco.
Oh, bummer. I was looking forward to a note from Franco. Brian of London and Hive DAO, 50,388 sats.
Nice.
From the V4V app. And he says, Shana Tova and Gmar Hadima Tova to all the shapeshifters in the audience.
Shana Tova! Shana Tova! I was taught Shana Tova.
Shana Tova?
Yeah. So it's Shana Happy. Oh, no. New Year Happy. Shana Tova.
But
I've always pronounced it Shana Tova.
What about Gmar Hatima Tova? GMAR.
I think I dated her in college.
She's a wild girl.
She is.
Yeah, she's nuts. Thanks, Brian. Dovidas through Fountain of Dovidas is from RSS Blue. He says, not sure. 25,013 sass. He says, not sure I agree on the extent of the problem regarding music uploads and legality. People could already upload someone else's content without these new tags. Anchor is facing challenges because their service is free. RSS Blue is not free. But that means that we can not only afford to offer great customer support, but we can also detect content uploaded by malicious actors.
Oh, great.
Instead of using unreliable detection tools.
Oh, fantastic. Cool. Hey, I'm all for it. And I love you guys for doing it. Don't get me wrong. I support you 100%. Just want to protect you, brother.
Todd Cochran, 55,420 sass through Fountain.
Oh, hello.
Boost!
He says, big thanks to Dave for coming on the New Media Show and giving us 2 hours of his time. Response so far have been interesting. Lots of thanks from independent podcasters, but it's been pretty much crickets from podcast companies. Still haven't had this much fun in many years with my clothes on. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting! Now,
So the live stream ended weirdly, and I had sent 3 boosts.
I think he got them all.
I
heard them all.
Did he read the last one?
Yeah, where you said, take your shirt off, big boy.
Yes. Because he was like, this is the most fun I've had with my clothes. I'm like 50,000 sats. Take your shirt off, big boy. Oh, yeah, they did read that. Okay, good.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you had that one teed up, ready to go.
That's funny.
That was awesome. Yeah, thanks, Todd. It was great fun. Yeah, had a good time. If anybody cares, we just went through the whole slide deck.
It was a great episode. If you can watch the video, the whole slide deck that Dave presented at Podcast Movement, except for some invalid XML on one of the slides that I caught. That's like I would never catch invalid. I mean, how many times have I screwed up my RSS feed?
Yeah, that's my job. Catching invalid XML is my job.
I know, but you put some XML on a slide. Oh, wait a minute, that's invalid, Dave. I'm texting him during the show.
I'm
texting him during the show. Man, that's invalid XML on that page, bro.
Yeah, it made me feel like a douche.
But it was really, it was a very good, in fact, that's for our previous guy, our previous booster. Go take a look at that. It's a great tutorial, great primer, whatever you want to call it, that just really kind of gets you into, all right, these are all the things that are coming. And may I just say, God bless Todd Cochran again, man. He has seen the light. He's all in. He's like, I think he's kind of like, shoot, I should have been all in already. He says as much. Yeah, it's good. And this is going to differentiate his company too.
Hey, they're putting their money where their mouth is, man. Yep. Podping through PowerPress.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's not a small undertaking. I mean, Castos did it, you know, a few months ago with the Seriously Simple plugin, and it requires work. Yeah. It's a real commitment, and I'm really grateful that they did that, because that brings in a lot more feeds. PowerPress has got a big base, a big install base, and so like that helps us. So the Podping, not to get too far off the rails here, but the Podping is a discovery tool for us. Everybody who watches the Podping blockchain can find new feeds this way. But the feeds that are really hard to find, like really hard to find, are feeds that are independently hosted on things like WordPress, and they're not in iTunes.
Right.
That means you pretty much have to just randomly come across them on an internet crawl. That's not common. So having those podcasts, and I've seen some of them come through, things like a Jewish, there was someone that came through the other day. It's like a Jewish podcast. It's not in iTunes. And it's like a, it was like a local synagogue. Well, I mean, we didn't have it. We didn't even know this thing existed. And we wouldn't have known it existed without Podping. So this is fantastic. I really appreciate Blueberry and Castos putting that into their WordPress products. Yeah, that is great. Very helpful.
That's great.
Boobery 21112 sent us a big rush boost through Boost CLI because he's old school like that. And he says, I think I know the answer already. Does Rockfin qualify as V for V? Also, Adam's thoughts about video podcasts are confirmed true. Audio only is more mysterious. There's a mystique. A mental mind fuck can be nice.
Boost.
I don't know about Rockfin. I don't know about Rockfin thing.
Either. I don't know anything about it. What am I supposed to know?
They have some sort of tipping thing. And I was watching their show last night live stream for a while as I was prepping for the show today. And I saw the little tipping thing at the top and it stayed zero the whole show. So
tipping doesn't work.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you get
tips. See, Brooklyn 112 gave us a 3333 through CurioCaster. It says, happy International Podcast Day.
Yes, thank you.
Boost to grace.
Boobery, again, 17776, mega liberty boost through Podverse. He says, Lavish and I went, that's the one you read earlier.
Yeah,
that must be a pre-show boost. Yeah, I got you. Okay. Well, then we got Comic Strip Blogger.
The Delimiter. There he is.
15,033 sats. Through Fountain, he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Your audience is invited to our podcast with news about artificial intelligence narrated by soon-to-be-famous TV show developer Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from England. Just type in your web browser or any podcatcher, AI.cooking. Stay safe with Jesus. Yo.
Thank you very much, Comic Strip Blogger.
Yeah, thanks, Comic Strip Blogger.
Thank you to all of our boosters.
Got some monthlies here through PayPal. Dreb Scott gave us $15. Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. Jeff Miller, $20. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Leslie Martin, $2. Aaron Reno, $5. And Pedro Goncalves, $5. That's our group.
Thank you all so much for contributing value back to the project, to the show. podcastindex.org. Right there on the homepage, we explain what we do. We explain what the money's used for. Spoiler, we're not getting any. you can also find a PayPal link there and QR codes. Let's see if anyone uses it after all those years of asking. Let's see. Have we checked that recently? Usually there's nothing, but I just want to make sure that someone didn't give us $1 million in Bitcoin and we missed it. That would really be sad.
Sir Spencer said in the chat, he says, Rockfin, you check the, quote, these bros own my shit box to join. Okay.
Hey, the podcastindex.org site's not loading. What is that? I mean, it's loading, but then it goes away. It's like a JavaScript or something is hijacking it.
Let's see.
Word up with that.
It came up from, is it, that's then it weird. Goes blank?
Oh, yeah. That happened. That happens to me too.
Huh. Wait, maybe I need to block some.
My Albi popped up.
Could it be an Albi thing? Let's see. Podcastindex.org. Let me turn on. I got to put shields back up. Shields up.
Shields.
No, same thing. It loads and then it disappears.
Type error. Failed to construct media metadata. HTTPS can't be resolved to a valid URL.
We have an issue. We have a problem. What is that? What is going on?
I have no idea. This is a bunch of stuff. Whenever it says there's a problem in bundle.js, that's like a webpack thing. I have no idea what it is. I don't know. I think if we wait long enough, it'll fix itself.
Oh, no, of course it will.
I propose we do nothing.
Yeah, what was I going to do? Oh, I was only trying to find the Tallycoin address. All right, we'll have to. Okay, if you go to us, it's just the homepage that's doing that. The apps page is okay. The stats page is good. That's weird. I'm telling you, it has something to do with this. It's trying to bring up the image in the player, the random show.
The slider.
I think it has something.
Carousel.
Yeah, the carousel. Because I see that loading and then it flashes away.
Yeah, it'll fix itself.
Yes. Let me see if I want to get to that page. I want to see what it's trying to load. Oh, I can't hit it. All right. Never mind.
What were we even trying to do? I forgot.
I don't know. Oh, I was going to look at Tallycoin. I was going to look at, but I don't.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, because right, right. Support Podcast. Here it is. Okay. And yeah, okay. Well, I should have.
Nothing as usual?
No. Nope. Last one was from August 26th. It was from Dreb.
Mike, how does Ivy.fm make money? And are you making any money?
We are not. Okay. I mean, our costs are pretty low. We actually do a lot of the computation locally, and then we push stuff up to Amazon. And so it's a pretty low overhead thing to keep up. But no, we don't make money yet.
Well, what's your plan to make money? Do you charge premium, or are you going to do value for value? Like, what do you have an idea about how you're
doing? Yeah, value for value. I think tooling for folks that are looking for maybe you could imagine an advertiser trying to find a podcast. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of tools out there already for that, but they mostly rely on Apple's 100 categories. And so I think giving somebody a million ways to find the podcasts that are relevant could be, a big win. But yeah, most looking at those kinds of models to make money.
Okay. That's because, I mean, will you ever just put something in the app where people can pay you?
Well, I guess that would be the value. Are you just a general Patreon or something?
Well, either way, I mean, like a premium, purchase, like a, annual subscription or something like that, or a value for, or taking a cut of value for value. Because, I mean, all these apps, if you have a subscription, I mean, I'll do it. I do it with all of them. For support. And then I'm sure, it brings in with the search. And so, cause what Ivy's going to be on my rotation now, because, I didn't realize until a few days ago when I started playing with it, that how strong the search was. And that's really valuable. So, I know it's valuable to more people.
I agree. I think it's really valuable. Yeah, I personally like the value for value more than the subscriptions. Dave just wants to give you money, so just yeah. give him a QR code.
Yeah, give me your Abby wallet, and I'll send you some money.
Sounds great.
Did you have a chance to send me your Abby wallet address?
Yes, I am sending it right
okay,
now.
Okay, good, because we're nearing the end, and I just like to get it done, get it up, get it out, bada bing, bada boom.
We need to talk about phase six of the namespace, but I mean, we might just want to wait until next week. What do you think?
Well, we're 2 hours in. Do you have a job?
I do actually have one. I still do.
do you want to keep your job? Talk about namespace six and no.
Yeah. Jobs are good. So I like groceries and food.
If we could have the podcast industrial complex stop putting their foot in their mouth, we won't have to talk about them so much on the next at the next board meeting.
That's true. Nothing will happen this week that will cause us to be distracted.
So we can go straight to the namespace on the next show.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, man, thank you so much. And you and your wife for Ivy.fm. And I actually tried to load it on my Graphene OS through the virtual store, and I'm having some trouble. So I'm going to see if I can get that loaded. But I agree with Dave. The search is phenomenal. I really like that. And I
appreciate that.
And I want to check my stats. I mean, I got the stats on me. I got stats, man. I got to go check myself. It's cool.
The website's back, by the way. It fixed itself.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
My job here is done.
All right, Dave, everything good? We all cool?
Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, had a great time. Thanks, Mike. And yeah, I'm good. I'm just heading back to work, and then got the weekend. I think I'm going to work on cleaning up some of the formatting for namespace for the phase six, and then I've got to pull in John Chigi's soundbite improvement proposals. And so hopefully by the end of the weekend, I will have everything ready to go for namespace six discussions. And then I'm actually going to try to carve out some time for that, for the massive dump of the boost stats. I want to work on that.
Massive dump's coming. All right. Thanks, brother. Mike, thank you so much, man. Say hi to your better half, who clearly is doing all the work. All right.
Yes, absolutely.
And thank you, chat room. Thank you, everybody, for attending the board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. We'll be back next Friday. Namespace 6, we promise. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Paula, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Go podcasting!